made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Insert dollars only, please. That's for anyone who actually knows what a dollar is. As far as I know, a dollar is an adjective, folks, not a noun. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're interviewing James from New Mexico, who did some time in a federal debtor's warehouse. James was deposited in a debtor's warehouse, if you can imagine that. James, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
James, make sure to speak into your microphone.
Okay. Let me get my headset back on real quick. Might be a little
That's okay, James. Now, I just want to warn you, we have a break coming up in just 3 or 4 minutes, and then we'll have a good 20-minute segment, and then we're going to spend the balance of the program dissecting the BIC technology in detail so people can make the decision as to whether it's something they want to learn about in detail. James, how long were you incarcerated for?
16 and a half months.
And you remember the day faithfully, I'm sure, when you thought you had to report to the prison.
Yes, yes.
Or did they take you in handcuffs directly?
They gave me a self-surrender. Actually, I was supposed to report to the prison on my own accord. And my probation officer got wind of it and didn't like it. So he wrote up a bogus letter to the judge and had the judge pull my self-surrender. And unbeknownst to me, they tricked me and got me to come to the probation office, of course, and arrested me on the spot and took me into custody.
A sting operation. They didn't arrest you, James. Arrest is a civil word. You know what they did? They detained you.
Yeah.
So what was the hardest part of being in prison, would you say, overall?
Oh, mostly being away from my family and dealing with...
Do you have children?
Yes.
Yeah, that must be difficult. What about actual conditions inside? What were they like?
Well, I was in a medium security facility.
Dormitory?
Yeah, kind of. It was an FCI.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even at that, as loose as the compound was, it was still, it ain't home, Sam.
It sure
is terrible. The food's terrible. The people you got to deal with are terrible. You know, the conditions.
Who's worse, the corrections officers? Who's worse, the corrections officers or the inmates?
I think the corrections officers.
Very interesting observation. Why do you say that?
Well, for the most part, the inmates, we're all alike in a lot of aspects. We've made a few mistakes in our lives and got snuck up on and didn't know the difference of what they were doing to us. They had no understanding of it at all. So for the most part, we just submitted.
Did you meet anybody in the joint who had a good idea of the commercial undertaking that they were involved in?
Yes, I did. I met a few guys in that kind of took me under their wing and tried to teach me some of the stuff. And at the time, there was cracking the code was coming out, and we had access to that, and it was pretty difficult to get, but we managed to get a couple of the editions in there and copy them off and began studying a little bit. But I was introduced to a process that I didn't understand because I didn't have any knowledge of the history.
How much access to a law library did you have? How regularly?
Well, I had pretty regular access, but the material that we had was limited to case law.
Of course.
Statutes.
And you didn't have any internet access?
No, none.
All right. We're going to continue this discussion and then start right off with the BIC instruments after this break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I guarantee you, you won't find radio like this on ABC.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm not sure what happened there, whether we came back prematurely or not. Hopefully, neither James nor myself were telling any off-color humor. So why don't we continue? We're talking with James from New Mexico, one of our friends who has unfortunately spent time as a surety for a defendant in a medium security debtor's warehouse. James, welcome back.
James, you have undertaken
some commercial procedures in your case since you were released. Is that correct?
Yes, I have.
Why don't you briefly, in a few seconds, summarize what they were, please?
Well, I got on board with the private offset bond, got my UCCs filed, my bonds finished up, and all that stuff sent into Treasury. I've got my return mail receipt and waiting to go forward with the next process. But
all right. So you've taken some measures to establish yourself as a creditor, is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
All right. Now, and you had some questions, as I recall. Probably, should you go back and redo anything? Should you pick up BIC new? And if, presumably, you have an interest in a prison ministry and assisting other mistaken sureties who are incarcerated, or perhaps in probation situations, you probably have a question as to how you might proceed. Is that about correct?
Yeah, that's about right.
All right. Well, with apologies, I'm probably going to talk nonstop, but don't leave us, James. You stay right here on the line if you wouldn't mind sharing the time with us. If it was me and I had the time, I would go full BIC. And that leads to the question, what is BIC? Well, we're going to spend the next 50 minutes dissecting that as promised in the email. First of all, BIC stands for Beneficiaries in Common. And there are two elements that make it extremely potentially powerful in the hands of a knowledgeable creditor who knows who he is and, more importantly, what he is not. Number one, the fact that there are joint beneficiaries mentioned on some of the instruments, that the benefits of those instruments will be provided to the United States trustee, the Secretary of the Treasury, in fact, the United States Treasury, and also will be provided to the fiduciaries and the account holders on those instruments. That's a very powerful scenario in that it ties the two together. It ties the fiduciaries and the account holders and the agencies and the courts together with the Department of Treasury and the Secretary of the Treasury as co-beneficiaries, as co-partners in crime. They're now in the lifeboats outside the sunken ship together. They can't get away from each other under public policy. Now, the other part of it that's so powerful is that there is a statutory mandate, which we would never quote to them, but they are aware of it, 28 U.S.C. 2041, which states that all funds in a pending judicial case must be transferred to Treasury. So that ties them together in the public lifeboat as well. And if they fail to transfer those funds, that, my friends, is felony theft of funds. Hence, BIC has great potential. Now, the very first step after one evaluates the offer that's being made, which I really we should devote a program to. That's very important to know what's being offered, such as a request for books and records. That's not a request for books and records. That's a whole bunch of presumptions and assumptions tied together as if there is some physical duty that has to be provided when, in fact, it's all part of the same commercial negotiation because the penalty for that is a commercial penalty. So the first step is evaluate the offer. And then, hopefully, you already have in place the first instrument in the BIC process, and that's known as an indemnity bond. The indemnity bond, by convention, is in the amount of $300 million over a 30-year term because the fellow, the very brilliant fellow who purports to have conceived of this concept of joint beneficiaries, has stated that that is a traditional sum the Treasury is used to processing. And that's the simple derivation of the $300 million in 30-year term. That bond lists accounts and account holders. And many of you out there already know that. But when you see sample bonds like that floating around the Internet, some of them look very simple. They just list the straw man as an account and his Social Security number and the birth certificate fiction. When they issue that birth certificate, that's another fiction. It may be upper and lowercase letters, but that's not you. It's a representation built around you. It's a trust built upon mom's application for the birth certificate, but it is not the same legal entity as you. So those two accounts only, and there's something to be said for staggering those bonds to Treasury every 35 days by convention, or every fourth day by commercial procedure. After 3 days, you assume that it's been processed, and here comes the next bond. One can also stagger bonds that list all of your bank accounts and credit card accounts and the account holders being the banks, the CFOs, officers, and whomever. One can do one for agencies. agencies you're having dealings with, agencies you anticipate that you might enter negotiations with. And you can combine all of those on one long one. You can do separate ones. I know one fellow who has at least 10 such indemnity bonds on file with Treasury at four-day intervals in anticipation of a large case. I know another fellow who's amassed $5 billion in credit with the United States through those indemnity bonds. There's no right or wrong way to do it, but that's the first step, and it has been suggested that anyone doing BIC stagger some of those bonds in sooner rather than later. Now, if one has no time, if they're under short deadline, that bond alone, a photocopy, and you can just put on it certified, true, correct, and complete as the maker of it, can be attached to a notice of counterclaim privately that can be sent to the fiduciaries. It can be that simple to end the case. Or it can be attached as well to a public notice of counterclaim and put in an active judicial case to provide notice. Ten days later, if the accounts have not been adjusted, then a Treasury liquidation process would begin. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. The notice of counterclaim I just mentioned is one of many different methods of presentation that one might choose for presenting a BIC instrument to the parties that have made offers to expend funds under public policy to you or to your straw man through you. But let's get away from the short term and look at a more typical example where there is time to develop the full process. In that case, 35 days later, an offset bond would be issued to the Department of Treasury, could be for 1 year, 5 years, whatever seems appropriate based upon the maker's knowledge of how commerce works, in an amount which would be equivalent to either less than one indemnity bond to which it refers. Let me explain that a little better if I may. The offset bond is routed through one or more indemnity bonds, and it would refer to it by the registration number on the indemnity bond, which is the registered mail number, which is attached to indemnity bonds when they are conveyed to Treasury. Indemnity bonds are conveyed by way of registered mail for the Department of Treasury. The convention is that offset bonds are sent by certified mail. The reason registered mail is used is to establish the registered mail number, independent from other mailings and other things that may be happening in the case. Well, that's one of the reasons, but good enough to suffice for now. The offset bond, let's say you had a $300 million indemnity bond in place and you issued an offset bond for $50 million, it would be routed through the indemnity bond. The indemnity bond serves as the securitization bond for the offset bond. Or if you had two indemnity bonds in place for $300 million each, that offset bond might refer to both of them. It could be in an amount of $400, $500, or $600 million, referring to multiple indemnity bonds. Or you might have three or four different offset bonds in a case, depending upon your purpose and how you're submitting them. You might have an offset bond which is naming as beneficiary the Secretary of the Treasury and a particular party in a case, up to 50-50 face value for both. The way an offset bond is structured, an offset bond is the first of the BIC instruments that is joint beneficiary, or more accurately, beneficiaries in common. 50% of the offset bond, the benefit of 50% of the face value of the offset bond is to the benefit of the Secretary of the Treasury, and up to 50% is to the benefit of any other party that you might choose. And we'll continue in more detail on that after the break, because the primary party is the straw man in most cases. Join me in 3 minutes, please.
found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot.
Insert. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you would like to send me an email about tonight's program, please forward it to takenoprisoners@hush.com. And if you have any questions or wish to register for the Law Merchants Leadership Conference, please send your email to Roberta at robertat@hush.com. We're talking to James. If James is still with us, are you still with us, James?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Very good. James, the information about the indemnity bond, is that clear? Do you have any questions about that?
I have a couple of questions.
Please.
What I'm wondering is if do we need to do an indemnity bond for each action that we're undertaking?
Yeah, that's
like
a good question.
Case. So in my case, for example, if I got this court action, I'd just have the $300 million indemnity bond, or would I have an indemnity bond for each person that's listed in the action?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me answer that the indemnity bond is not the place where you start divvying up the funds through the parties with whom you would like to settle. The indemnity bond, or indemnity bonds, is basically placing on record all of those parties that you are indemnifying for any actions that they will be undertaking on your order or on behalf of you or any of the debtors for whom you are stepping forward in the batter's box. Okay. The first instrument to really specify the division of funds is the promissory note, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. So I would be more concerned in a case like James's that there is enough on file, because if we have not placed on deposit with Treasury sufficient funds to cover the accumulated liabilities for a period of incarceration or a case of 18 months or 16 months or a complex case with 10 felony charges and the Lord only knows how many bid performance and payments bonds have been issued and securities have been purchased by Walmart and Prudential, I would want to make sure it's sky high that if it was me, I had enough funds on file with Treasury and all of the accounts and account holders are listed on one or more of those bonds. That's the way I would approach it. Now, let me also say that I think I made a mistake before the break. I think I said that the offset bond would also be up to 50% to the benefit of the straw man. Actually, that's not true. Let me clarify. The offset bond is the first of the joint beneficiary instruments in the series of instruments, and 50% of it, by convention, is to the benefit of the United States Department of the Treasury, and 50% in many cases, and here's where I get into trouble because I work on so many cases, we try a lot of different things, but in most cases will probably be to the benefit of the birth certificate account, the full non-straw man name, so to speak. And so half of the benefit of that bond would be applied to that entity's benefit. But it may be applied to another entity's benefit. What if you're intervening on behalf of a little old lady? Or what if you're... Or what if you're intervening on behalf, in a case like yours, James, as a creditor on behalf of another prisoner? Then it would be 50% to the benefit of that party's birth certificate entity. Okay. That's where we have to keep the parties in mind. Now, that offset bond, the private offset bond, is issued to Treasury, and specifies... It instructs them that they should apply up to 50% of that bond to the benefit of the straw man account, the birth certificate account, or any other creditor that you bring forth by instructions to them. And those instructions would be the acceptance for value on that party's offer. That is forwarded to Treasury, ideally 35 days later, but certainly could be done 4 days later by way of certified mail, and it has a certified mail tracking number, and it has language on it that routes that offset bond through whatever indemnity bond or carousel of indemnity bonds you are tying it into. The third instrument is, and it's the one I really appreciate the most, is the bonded promissory note. This is a document that usually is presented by certified mail. It can be presented by express mail or personally or in other ways. And that is the instrument where we see most of the action. The bonded promissory note is written to the order of the Secretary of the Treasury, more accurately, the U.S. Trustee, and one or more fiduciaries named thereunder. And those fiduciaries are appointed fiduciary trustee of the bond, and the bond is also made to their order. Now, folks, that's the beneficiaries in common concept really at its finest, and we're going to spend the time after this break to the next break discussing the bonded promissory note with specificity and how it's to be applied in a variety of different cases. Please join me at Take No Prisoners on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
From the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Friends, welcome back. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and my voice is waning as we speak. So I appreciate you tuning in, and you're going to wind up with a sore back because you're going to be tipping forward, listening more closely to the speakers. Hopefully by the end of the program, I'll have enough left to say goodnight. If any of you are interested in learning the BIC technology comprehensively, not in a rush format like this, from beginning to end, by all means, please send an email to Roberta@hush.com. And she'll be able to answer questions and handle any registration procedures for you. By the way, it is by invitation only, and we do screen all applications. Now, two things. Regarding the indemnity bond, perhaps I should mention that that particular instrument has, by convention, three sureties listed at the bottom and who execute as sureties. So that there's not just one party saying that those account holders and accounts will be properly indemnified. That gives it weight. That, in a way, is very consistent with the concept of joint beneficiaries. Maybe we should call this the joint surety method as well. Also, the offset bond, I believe I mentioned that you could establish the term in any manner that suits you, and that's absolutely true. I probably should mention also that most private offset bonds have been issued for a term of approximately 10 years. Although we've had, I guess we could say we've had some fun in issuing some for as long as 30 years. We're playing around with the idea of 50 years and some for a much shorter term of 1 year. You would play with the term depending upon the circumstances that you're dealing with. If you wanted to provide a windfall profit to a vendor, wouldn't 50 years to play around with an expansion of funds be a very nice blessing that you would be bestowing upon that institution or that party? So the offset bond, you have flexibility in making the decisions as to what you feel would be appropriate. But 10 years is the usual convention. So that brings us up to the bonded promissory note. Now, James, you're still with us?
Yes.
You asked a good question about various procedures that you're in, and that's what we're going to focus on for the next 10 or 15 minutes. This is perhaps the most important part of making these decisions. The third instrument in the array is a bonded promissory note, and it's a beautiful concept because it ties together chosen fiduciaries with the Secretary of the Treasury as co-beneficiaries of the instrument. Now, for anyone out there who persists in wanting to send me emails that say, where is your authority to issue a promissory note, then I say thank you for the laugh. I appreciate that. You understand, don't you, James?
Well, take a look at that little bond number on the back of your Social Security number. That'll give you a clue. And then start doing some research on figuring out where that come from and what that number really means and what it does.
Well, I'll tell you where my authority comes from. My authority comes from BIC. not BIC. It's funny. It has the same initials. BIC, the manufacturer of pens. As long as I have ink in my pen, I have authority as a living man.
Amen.
And I have that authority because all I'm saying is I am indemnifying you with my word, my credit, and my labor.
That's right.
For ethical, moral, and lawful actions you take on my behalf and upon my order. In addition, is there no one listening to my voice who has ever taken out a mortgage or has ever borrowed funds, especially from a bank? Does the concept of creating money by your signature strike fear into your hearts? That's the operational currency of the United States. When you sign a credit card sheet, when you sign a credit card invoice, you've created funds by your signature. When you sign a check, what have you done? You've created funds under public policy.
Let me interject something there while you're on that subject, if you don't mind.
Please,
I got the most interesting little offer from Wells Fargo Bank the other day to my ministry. And they want to offer me a $100,000 credit line and then left a blank in there for an other amount. And all they want me to do is give them a voided check from my ministry account so that they can deposit the funds immediately into the account.
Yes, and we see examples of that all day long, and I thank you for the insight, James. That's public policy. Where does the authority come from? Folks, every time you whip out your credit card, you are indicating your knowledge as a law merchant of what you are doing. That's why they expect you to know what you're doing when you get to court. So the bonded promissory note is really the zenith of the mountain in creating funds under public policy, because you are tying together the Secretary of the Treasury with a fiduciary. So now let me blow through this topic, because this is the one I think that most people have questions at this stage in the development of BIC. What do you do with the bonded promissory note? Where do you send it? How do you tie all this together? The answer to that is that it really depends upon the case that you're involved in. For instance, let's take James' case. Let's say James was facing, let's back up on James' case. When James was in the middle of a criminal case, once you're in the criminal case, you have at least three perhaps four parties that are involved, perhaps 20 parties, depending on how you count. But you have James the Living Man. You have this fictional Ons Legis entity known as the Defendant. You have the clerk making offers, the judge making offers. There may be a warrant officer, someone who processes warrants for a police department. You may have a policeman prosecuting a case. You may have a prosecutor. So assuming you have a prosecutor, a judge, a clerk, and the defendant, I might be tempted to name the clerk, the prosecutor, and the judge as co-beneficiaries. But I may go with two promissory notes. Or in the case that I mentioned earlier where I spoke to a woman today, if I was going to walk in the day of the hearing and present that as my records, I might have a bonded promissory note for the agent, a bonded promissory note for the judge. I might have one for the bailiff, bonded promissory note for the clerk, because the goal of BIC is what? It's to satisfy all obligations attributed to the debtor. You're doing that as the creditor, not just as a courtesy, but to protect your first-in-line claim. And when they fail to adjust the books, you have effectively converted the liability to them. And that leads us to the subject of presentation. And excuse me, James, I am going to move fast for this. I see the clock is really ticking on us.
Okay.
You have to decide at this point in the process. You have to conceive of the case. How am I going to settle all this? What method of presentment am I going to use? Method one, short duration, no time, notice of counterclaim. Get it in quick. And for that, you really only need the indemnity bond, because what are you saying? Look, I've already paid it with an indemnity bond. I have a bond on file with Treasury. Your boss that you have to produce and redeposit all funds with, here's a certified copy of it. Deal with it. There may be other ways you can present. And another common way is just to present it with a set of fiduciary instructions, telling the fiduciary, here is the instrument, ledger the account, adjust the books, settle this account to zero or in my favor, and if you don't, here's what I'm going to do. And that's when you might let them know that you would be liquidating their dishonor through Treasury if they fail to ledger the account properly. Because if they fail to ledger the payment, James, what have they done? You want to take a guess?
Yeah, not really.
They've stolen funds.
Yeah.
What if you paid Macy's? You give them a check, and they claim, we didn't receive the payment, but you have a copy of the canceled check, and you have a copy of a green card. What are you going to say?
Right.
What happened to my money? Who stole the funds? Now, we're not going to go right to who stole the funds. We're going to give them an opportunity to account for the funds and prove that simple error was at work as opposed to an intention to steal funds. And but that's the next stage in the process, so I think we're going to stay focused on the presentation itself. So the second most simple way to present is with a simple set of fiduciary instructions, which is a letter that accompanies the promissory note entitled Fiduciary Instructions. You might include an affidavit of negative averment. It is a given, ladies and gentlemen around the world, that every presentment is done through a notary, except the indemnity bond to Treasury and the offset bond to Treasury. But when you are dealing directly with the vendors, the people who made the offer to expand funds or offers to expand funds, that is done through a notary when I do it, because I want to be able to take that public official and have him put them into default as opposed to me. So you might have a case, such as when James was facing trial, where these instruments are delivered directly to the clerk with the fiduciary instructions. However, if you're involved in a judicial case, you very well may choose the third level of presentment, what we're calling stage one being presentment, option three, comprehensive administrative remedy, and that works beautifully with BIC because it gives you an opportunity not just to zero the account, not just to give instructions to the fiduciary, but to do one other essential thing in settling criminal cases, civil cases, foreclosures especially. And that, James, namely, is redrafting the contract. So the comprehensive administrative remedy, if you have time to work on it, the one I use starts at about 6 pages, and then we can whittle things back. Well, if a person were to use a method like this, you can take this out, that out, change this around to fit the particular circumstances. Something else that I like to incorporate in a comprehensive administrative remedy is reference to a declaration of political status. Could be private identification, could be identification as a state national, could be a declaration of status that many people have seen floating around. Some have been fortunate enough to secure the great seal of the president on. But either way, a document like that is notarized, and then the notary's signature is certified in the county in which the notary practices. Don't forget, a notary is an agent of the Secretary of State. The notary sits at the privilege of the Secretary of State. And then the document can be apostilled with the Secretary of State, or it can be filed into a case. It can be apostilled first and then filed. There are numerous ways of demonstrating that the United States has accepted the declaration of political status. Now, this isn't primary. BIC and Commerce is primary, but this adds one other flavor to the case, something I like to use a lot. And what it does is it establishes in the public thinking the following concept, that this process does not apply to me. Now, a lot of guys have gone to jail arguing that, but let me tell you this, that if the United States issues a summons or a subpoena against the International Monetary Fund, their lawyer sends back a very brief one-page letter, which... Thank you. I'm talking to the production staff, and I understand we have a caller. I'm not sure we're going to be able to bring him in at this point. But continuing along, we have during the presentation of the Declaration of Political Status, my apologies, folks, for the interruption, the document is used to be able to say just what the IMF's attorney would say in a simple, quick page, and it would be, I received this summons, this document, this offer to expend funds under public policy, and I am returning it to you, accepted for value, because you have no legal authority to issue process against me. And that's combined in the comprehensive administrative remedy, along with... The initial emphasis on the BIC instruments, the comprehensive process, the fiduciary instructions, however you're presenting, they are going to make the point in Commerce that, dear sir, please find promissory note, bonded promissory note number such and such, which names you as a co-beneficiary with the Secretary of the Treasury in the amount of $5 million, $10 million, $5 billion, whatever it is. So all of that is being thrown at them right on page one. Here's my declaration of political status. Here's the illegality of serving process. Here is my payment. All obligations have been satisfied, and it's being presented under notary seal. And if you fail to acknowledge and adjust the accounts, the notary will certify your acceptance. The notary will certify your stipulating to the value and validity of the instrument, and the notary will certify, in addition, that you have confessed judgment to having accepted all liability as holder in due course of the payment. And by the way, we might mention somewhere something about the potential for criminal charges in the event the funds are not logged in and transferred to Treasury. In effect, that's the comprehensive administrative remedy, as complex or as simple as you want it. It would be accompanied by an affidavit of negative averment. which specifically reverses everything and puts proof of claim on those parties that made the offer to expand funds under public policy. It would also include a schedule of stipulated or a schedule of confessed facts, default confessions, stipulations, and admissions by virtue of the fact that they failed to respond to the private process. And they will almost always fail to respond substantively, if at all, to the private practice. That, in a nutshell, is stage one of the BIC process. Now, when we come back from the break, we're also going to address the problem of what to do if you have a personal recognizance bond, an appearance bond, or any document where you signed, "I am the defendant." We'll cover that in detail and the time that's allowed to us after the break. And we'll also pick up this discussion next Sunday at 9 p.m. on Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, I'm sorry for that little interruption earlier and the technical glitches. Every time I have a very powerful earphone in one ear, And every time I hear a message in the earphone, it's like being at the airport. I'm completely distracted, wondering if that's my flight that's taking off. So I guess we should just be happy I haven't run out the door to catch a plane. I'm not even booked on. Anyway, we were talking about the comprehensive administrative remedy. Were we not, James?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, maybe you can remember where I was specifically.
I think we kind of ended up around the notice of waiver benefits. Yeah.
We were going to talk about rescinding an AP bond. There is a way of doing that. And it's as simple as what's in the top of your head. What's the principle behind rescinding a bond? Issue a notice of rescission. Make it known that there are grounds for the rescission, such as failure to be notified that you were entitled to rescind the contract. And most importantly of all, I would want to make it known to all parties, and it can be part of the rescission process, that there's a new boy on the block, what I'm calling the successor surety. Now, there's a term that I hope spreads around the world like wildfire. What happens when you have a living trust, you've appointed yourself as successor, and you drop dead from a heart attack? Well, the successor trustee moves in, doesn't he? We have a successor surety. The beauty of the BIC process is nothing more than that. We have paid, and now we want to know what happened to the payment, because you're holding the payment, and you are now the surety if you have not credited the account. And if it was me, I would do an entirely separate administrative remedy if I was out on an appearance bond, and I would appoint the director of the marshal service or a specific marshal or the sheriff or the undersheriff or the chief of police or whomever is in enforcement or the head of corrections, the warden, the head of the Bureau of Prisons, whoever it may be. I'm going to appoint him and a local guy as co-fiduciaries on a promissory note, maybe attach a full rescission package to it, a verified notice of rescission of a particular order, maybe another administrative remedy. We call them foreign advisories, by the way, advising them that the debt has been canceled, that that all security should be recalled. I might attach to that or include instead a notice of successor surety. That's off the top of my head. This is the new surety, and I have no objection to anything you might do to ensure that he fulfills his obligations to the defendant. But you need to know, my friend, that he is the surety, and I am no longer occupying that capacity because I have paid the liabilities. And that is done, again, with negative averment, with notices, and with joint beneficiary bonded promissory notes. And if they fail to honor any of these instruments, the very first step in enforcement, which is the topic we will pick up on next Sunday night at 9 p.m. right here at the Republic Broadcasting Network, then we will move right into Treasury liquidation and have the Department of Treasury liquidate their public hazard bonds so they become unemployable in the public. At the same time, we'll request the issuance of distress warrants by the Secretary of the Treasury, and we'll provide criminal complaints for grand jury investigation for them to digest. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
We'll see everyone next Sunday. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.